Hello, welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 95 for Saturday, January 24th, 2009. PHP BB Weekly is the weekly live podcast where we talk all about the PHP BB Bulletin Board software at phpbb.com. Did I do that right?
I don't know.
It's only been about
it's been a long week for you.
It's been about 3 weeks since we had our live episode, and for me, it's been all. It feels like it's been a long time since we had an episode at all. Very long week. Feels like it's been like a month or two or something like that. Yeah. So anyway, I think my name is Douglas Bell,
and my name is still David Lewis. No, I don't have an alternate personality today. Sorry.
That's fine. The way my brain is, I probably would have believed your alternate name if you gave me one. So, thanks for not confusing me. it's all over the world. It's been an interesting week, of course, because of the event that happened last Tuesday, the historic inauguration of the 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama, or however your alfalfa character described him. But you did a, as a, I remember doing scoff news, and you did Barack Oberty.
Barack Oberty, yeah.
Barack Obama. Barack Obama. I've been in D.C. for the past week, actually, there, among the ridiculous crowds, the security things, closures. I swear, I've heard so many sirens in the last week. I totally am ignoring them now. You hear any time fire sirens, police sirens, ambulance sirens? I've heard at least 8 a day, or often more than that. It's ridiculous.
You had to have been battling some 2 million people.
Yeah. Very crowded on the Tuesday. In the metro system they have there, they said on their website they hit a record. Over 1.2 million people took the metro on Tuesday. The previous record was 860,000, which was set on Monday, the day before. So, absolute.
Previous record was set the day before.
Yeah, and it was only 400,000 less. So, absolute insanity, pretty much down there. If you were going just for the purpose of touring DC, it wasn't the best week to do that.
Yeah, not a good idea. I can't imagine what the cost of the flights had to have been for that time of.
I wouldn't know. I'm sure. Certainly, you couldn't book it just a few weeks in advance, like you guys did with London Invasion. You know, oh June, yeah, I guess we ought to be going and booking our flights to London. That sounds like a good idea. That wouldn't work.
Everybody pretty much booked their flights about two or three months in advance.
I'd say so. Ours were well in advance, even though we didn't find out the details about them until from the group till a month earlier.
Yeah.
But overall, good experience. And after the inauguration was over, did do some touring, which was nice, really cool. Seen some of the places there, some of the memorials and things like that.
Yeah, is that the first time you've been in D.C.?
First time I've been in D.C., yep. First time I've been actually to the East Coast. Okay, I think to New England area since 2004.
We have a friend who's a former state security agent. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the guys that wears the black sunglasses and the AK-47s, and he was actually one of the drivers for the cars. You know, they used to drive the state security is like the Secret Service for foreign dignitaries.
And
he would drive the limo for the dignitaries. Cool. So he used to take us on all kinds of really interesting tours around D.C. So a fantastic place, certainly.
Yeah. Nevertheless, you can certainly feel just the excited atmosphere out there. You know, people who are very excited, you know, about Barack Obama being inaugurated. And there are a few protesters, but not very many out there. You know, you have the Jesus loves you crowd out there, which was always kind of interesting to run into. I respect their point of view, but unfortunately they can't. Jesus couldn't have been elected president because he is not a natural born citizen.
I don't think they were trying to get him elected.
Yeah, I think, you'd have to also argue that the framers of the Constitution hated Jesus. Okay, we should stop talking about that because we're treading on some awkward ground there. But very interesting week. And that's why the website we had was kind of out of date for the past week. We didn't have an episode last week for that reason. And we're going to catch up a bit today, but still congratulations to the new president. It was actually kind of cool to see some of the stuff they've been doing. Particularly, have you seen the new White House website?
Yes, I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Actually, I hate the content, really.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay, I don't know. Ignoring the content, I just thought, you know, it's awkward. It feels as if it's a 21st century website for once, something like that. Just in terms of the layout they have there, you know, they have a blog now, they're doing stuff on YouTube. All they need now are some community forums run by PHPBB, and they'll have a set deal.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Maybe you should contact them.
Yes.
Hey, run PHPBB.
Yeah. Excuse me. Oh, boy. Can you imagine how much fun it would be to have to moderate that kind of a forum?
Yeah. Boy, aren't we getting off topic.
Yeah. We think PHPBB.com is a busy forum. Not anymore. Anywho, let's talk. This is PHPBB Weekly, not Douglas's Travels to Washington, D.C. Weekly. So let's get on to our normal set of things with it. First of all, our housekeeping. If you'd like to join us on the show, chat with us or anything like that, feel free to call us. The number is 724-444-7444. The call ID number is 12418, and you can do that whenever we are live on TalkShoe. Also, you can join us in our online chat room. Go to TalkShoe.com, click on PHPBB Weekly, and join in live, and you can join the chat room there, which is always a very fun thing to do. They're very active. They really help us out, and there's lots of people there to chat with. We also have an alternate IRC channel, which is phpbb-weekly on freenode.net. And you can also stream the show live via the badge on our website, www.phpbbweekly.net. And our sponsor, which is rejoining us after a couple of weeks, we did not have a sponsor, but we're glad to have him back, GoToMeeting. Do you have to travel for business but are constantly feeling the wrath of flight delays or other travel problems that luckily I didn't have to deal with during this week, I was very glad of? Well, there is an easier and more affordable way. GoToMeeting, the award-winning service that lets you hold meetings over the internet with people in multiple locations. All you got to do is log on to GoToMeeting.com, where you can start meetings with a click, and instantly everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen. It's much less expensive and less time-consuming than meeting in person. Try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. Just go to GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts for a free 30-day trial so you can start doing more and traveling less. So, David came up with a couple of interesting topics we're going to talk about today, and I'm actually going to – I never thought I'd do this. I'm going to bet we're probably going to try to do a short show today. We're going to see if it's actually feasibly possible for us to do a short show.
Well, we have done a couple short shows.
A long time ago.
reasonably short in the not-too-distant past.
Yeah. But apparently, I don't know. David said that there is a new version of ModX coming out very shortly.
ModX 1.2.2.
Yes.
Which, once it's announced, it'll be important that everybody will, if you are planning on submitting a mod to the mod database, first of all, and you don't want to have it in ModX 1.2.2, you better submit it now. I hate to say that, Paul will probably slap me.
That's awkward. It's like, oh, it is coming and everyone's going to have to use it. If you really, really don't want to use it, you better submit now.
No. No, that everybody, obviously, you know, once a new ModX version is submitted, then you have to – any new submissions to the mod database or updates will have to contain the ModX 1.2.2 file, which really isn't that big of a deal. I mean, you're just including a new XSL, and if you – use some of the new tags, then you have to change the layout just a little bit. I think Paul would actually be able to explain it better, but there are two changes.
Mm-hmm. So we had 1.2.1 come out about 4 months ago in September, we were talking about how there was actually there were a lot of changes in there, like collapsible mod history, collapsible edit sections, linking other files to edit to the other installation instructions, you know, merging some sections together and some new shortcut keys. That was actually quite a bit for a minor revision update.
It was. This one's much smaller.
Okay.
This has two changes, I believe. I don't think the third was actually implemented. Let's see. There was a contributions fix, and then the template-lang link type was added. So, like, we had lang and we had template, but there was no template-lang link type, which caused a little bit of a problem with for people who were trying to include multiple languages. So this new link type will especially help those who like to release their mods in multiple languages and have templates that are language dependent. For example, the image sets can be language dependent, and some, you know, that's basically what it would be for. And there's documentation for ModX 1.2.2 in the new tags that will be released as well. That's not quite released yet, but that is coming soon.
Okay. So,
We were planning on having a run tag, like, you know, where, you know, you could specify a file that you could run, especially with the UMIL library released. Where you could specify, you know, go run the install.php file on your server. However,
That'd be good. Because right now, even though a UMIL will actually allows you to simplify some of the crazy instructions that you have had to do, would have had to do, you still have to put in a DIY instruction that says, please go run this UMIL file.
Right. Which really isn't hard to do.
Yeah.
The only thing that a run tag would have done was save you a few lines or one sentence of typing.
And in the case of if you're using AutoMod, perhaps it could have allowed you to go straight, link straight to it, rather than having to go and write in the URL yourself.
Right, exactly. The run command would have been pretty useful for AutoMod, where it would have just linked the user to the file.
Click a button to go do this last step.
Yes, exactly.
So why is that not being included?
They wanted me to create the patch, and the day that I needed to create it, I suddenly got swamped with a bunch of work. So I was not able to implement it, unfortunately, nobody else created the patch. So
is that ModX 1.2.3?
I'm afraid so. Afraid it'll have to be, unless somebody else wants to implement it. It's not something that would be difficult to implement. It's just a new tag, a simple new tag with a language attached to it. But I don't think anybody else wants to implement it, so it's up to me, I guess. Oof.
That touches the life of a volunteer.
Such as life.
It's nice to know that kind of a feature is certainly being considered, because that would certainly be very useful to have, without a doubt. So how frequent are these ModX updates going to be, you know, now that we've had three in the past 12 months or so?
Right, and really that's not very many.
Yeah, that's true.
If you think about it, that's not very frequent. So, you know, one every 4 months, one every 3 months, it's... If we can keep that rate, that'd be okay, you know, because it's not really a big deal to update from one version to the next. You're just including the new XSL file, and if you use one of the new tags, for example, here, then you would do that. But like I said, the changes are pretty nominal for the most part. Start to guide, we're obviously creating some ModX generators that will be able to generate it in the proper format. And hopefully we can get some on phpview.com that will do that as well.
Okay. We got to that fast.
But right now there is a Scottish meeting taking place.
Yeah.
Is it taking place right at the moment? I think it is.
It started, right now, as when we're live, that'd be 5:30 p.m. There. So it's supposed to, they said it goes till 6:00.
Yes. Neil Thermick was planning on joining us, but I think he forgot to bring his microphone. Yeah. And they have an interesting they have an interesting setup going up over there to get their internet going.
I'm sure. Here's what he's been. I was chatting with him about an hour ago before the show, talking about, and instead they've been having very interesting discussions there. They're talking about, PHP BB 4.0. Yeah, that's it. That's what they're talking about. And I can't tell if they're being serious or very silly. I think they're probably
being silly. Of course, I
asked that. So you being serious or sarcastic? He said, "How dare you laugh at this? This is a very serious matter." they're planning on they're doing a just in time PHP recompilation that'll allow them to dynamically serve up data in 4.0 without having to cause any extra load. And here's how they're going to do it. They're actually going to rewrite PHPBB in C so that to install it, all you need to do is to create a database for it and then enable the PHP module. It's that way, 4.0 will be about 300 times faster than anything they could do in pure PHP.
Awesome. C is much faster because you're back a language,
Yeah.
But no, that's not going to happen. PHPBB is built on PHP.
And he said they've been developing this kind of thing for a while, and they've been working on a version of 2.0 on with this, which is their prototype. And they said that module is 31 times faster than a stock install of 3.0. Yeah, very, very important stuff. He just now told me that they're just about to leave.
Ah, okay.
I've been telling them, David, about your 4.0 exploits, and he can't stop laughing. I'd love to see what he's saying. See, when we can't, this is how resourceful we are. We can't get them to join us on the show. We just repeat what they're saying. Ash wants to know why are you laughing at it?
Well, ask them to post some pictures. I think there is at least two people there who had cameras. I should hope so, at least. I can't imagine Neil Thurmick going anywhere without at least one camera.
At least one?
At least one, yeah. He's got his a new film set up. That sounds pretty cool. But
you'll probably end up talking a bit about it next week.
I know. I have to be careful because I'm a huge camera fan. And so is Neil Thurmick. But so yeah, hopefully we can get him on the show and he can talk about their meetup. Again, this is not a big LundInvasion kind of meetup for those who are not familiar with it. This is more of a small user group meetup for the purpose of talking about
4.0
for the Scottish community or the area surrounding that. And obviously Neil Thurmick is from England and a few others, Bristol, for example, UK. But they all met in Scotland. And how many people were there? I don't know, a half dozen at least. Probably about a half dozen.
There were a number of team members that had to back out from the original list, but it says Greenweaver was there. Obviously, Greenweaver was in charge of it. Mm-hmm. Cherokee Red of the moderator team was there.
Neil Thurmick.
Neil Thurmick was there. Tuna Army of the development team there. Both Paul and Art the Daemon were lined out here, so the mod team wasn't represented.
Yeah. And
by the way,
there were some non-PHBBB team members that were there as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there were quite a few. Ash says, don't laugh at 4.0. You're not a developer, so you don't know what projects we have going on. And he's just leaving now, so he's now signing off. So. Ladies and gentlemen, Wait a minute. If they rewrite PHP, BB, and C, doesn't that mean they're going to have to change the name?
Yeah.
It's going to be called CBB?
CBB, yeah.
That has a nice ring to it. Welcome to CBB Weekly.
Sure, heck of a lot easier to say than PHPBB Weekly.
Yes. And it all rhymes, too. Every syllable rhymes in that case. Otherwise, we always had the H standing in the way.
Yeah. Well, hopefully our San Francisco meeting is going to be much bigger. That's kind of the plan, to have a rather large meeting in San Francisco.
San Francisco meeting?
Also, I got permission to say...
Oh, that's right! I forgot about that.
There will not be a Liberty Invasion in 2009.
What's that mean?
Okay, there's no... Remember I told you that the plan was to hold a invasion in New York?
Yes.
Liberty Invasion.
Oh, I didn't know you had that name.
I never heard of it. there is no, there's not going to be, it's not going to happen in 2009. It, apparently the planning was getting started a little too late to have it, so unfortunately.
Are they doing anything in 2009?
No. So that's why I wanted to inform you that, you know, we don't have to worry about schedule conflicts.
So let's, all right, I guess the San Francisco one. Let's see if we can make that the big event of 2009.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping we can do. What's because there's a lot of people, a lot of team members who will want to join us there. I know WG Eric, David Rathbun, iWisdom, myself and Francis. In our Seattle is another location we're going to have a local meeting for in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have Brainy, M2 the Eichel, there's a couple people from Vancouver. And so anyway, that'll be a more smaller meeting, kind of like the Scottish meetup, but it'll give us a chance to go to Seattle.
We still need to come up with for a good name. I mean, the closest thing name I can think of for a San Francisco would be San Franvasion, but that's a little awkward.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure it can be an actual invasion, but we can certainly make it a very unique name and a large
San Fran attack. You can't do a full invasion. We'll just attack them.
Nobody let Douglas pick names for
us. Yes. Hey, who do you think was the schmuck that came up with such a hard to pronounce name as PHP BB Weekly? That was me. I mean, it looked good on paper, but saying it every week got to be difficult. Yeah. So. We could keep an eye on. So anyway, I guess at this point the Scotland meetings ended, so we didn't really get to do much in terms of covering them. But boy, they sounds like whatever they had going on is. I'm not sure how productive it was, but it sure sounded interesting.
Yeah, with Neothermic there, how productive could it be?
I don't think
discussing 4.0. I mean, come on.
So hey, you got to start sometime. Sorry, I had a little bit of congestion they brought back with me. So, getting into something a little bit more serious, David, you keep a much closer eye on the subversion check-ins than I do, and mm-hmm. You apparently noticed something I had missed, that there was some new CAPTCHA settings committed to the subversion repository for the upcoming 3.0.5 release.
Or more accurately, a new CAPTCHA setting.
Ah. Okay.
It's a wave setting. So mm-hmm. Basically it will take your CAPTCHA and cause it to wave. Now, that makes me curious, you have the GD CAPTCHA and then you have the other kind of CAPTCHA, you know, so there's only two different kinds.
Mm. Now luckily that 3D type CAPTCHA that was looks like it's sticking out of a piece of gum or something like that. I'm glad that it's not in there anymore. I'm glad that they got rid of it, because I remember when that was coming out in the CVS, and boy, the outrage, mostly for me, but the outrage against that, oh my lord.
Well, there's two types of CAPTCHAs, and obviously there's the GD CAPTCHA, and you can have different controlling settings for it, as well as the wave distortion.
Mm-hmm.
And that just causes it to sort of wave, distorted wave. It's kind of interesting, but it's a good idea that would throw off some CAPTCHA readers, you know, because eventually the CAPTCHA will be broken. You know, it was a very advanced CAPTCHA, but eventually they will have figured out how to read it. And once that happens,
anyone can go and find the source code that's used to generate the CAPTCHA.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't even have to have the source code. All you have to have is, you know, example image and continue trying something on it until it works. Which is, you know, that's how they will break CAPTCHAs. So, you know, they'll create the code that will be able to break one, and then they'll continue from there, you know. So eventually it will be broken, and hopefully the wave distortion will be another method in which users can use to fool those readers.
Yeah. Now,
maybe a little bit helps.
I've personally become a big fan of ReCAPTCHA. I'm sure you've seen, many people have seen this.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's heck, I even saw. Remember that? You know that website for getting the free coupon for the digital TV transition.
Thing,
but I had to do that about 2 months ago. They actually use reCAPTCHA on there too, interestingly enough.
Yeah, a lot of services are using reCAPTCHA because it's meant to be built in with their site. It's a free anti-bot service. So,
and I about 2 months ago, I gave it a try on my I had a site with some forms that I had sort of custom built myself that were starting to get hit by spammers, I had sort of put together at first a Kismet implementation on there, but which was kind of awkward. And really didn't do that well. But I then just stumbled on this thing, reCAPTCHA, gave it a try in terms of integrating it. It was actually quite easy to integrate it for a PHP-based form, a lot easier than my makeshift Akismet integration. And I really like it, and I have not gotten any spam since. Not to mention I love that I can, first of all, in most cases I can actually read it. And if I can't, it's very easy to regenerate a new CAPTCHA in its place. As well as the fact that they're actually sort of doing something useful with it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting service. It certainly intrigued me when I read about it.
Yeah, the idea behind reCAPTCHA is they are using it at the same time to sort of digitize books. As part of a group from Carnegie Mellon University that does this, and they're trying to. Scan in old documents and books and things like that, you use OCR, optical character recognition, to recognize what the words are so they can digitize them. But no scanning service is perfect, and there's a whole bunch of very old documents with awkward typefaces that can't be read by these OCR scanners.
Here's what gets me, though. I mean, it's supposedly pulling words that it can't read, and that it needs you to type out, right? Yes. Well, how does that match, okay.
Here's how it does it. They give you two words. One of the words is something that they already know what it's supposed to be, and the other one is something that they don't know what it's supposed to be. And, of course, they add their own set of distractions above the actual text to make it harder to see. So they actually presume that if you can get one of the words, the word that they know, the known word correct, and they presume that the other one is correct. Combine that with the fact that they actually do those words many, many times, so that they can then sort of take the most common responses for them to figure out what they actually are. So there's a lot of redundancy, and that's why they give you two words, is one of them is a word that they know the correct answer to, and that's how they can tell whether or not you got it right or wrong.
That makes sense. That's a really interesting method.
Yeah.
I've known they had two, but it didn't make sense why they had two. Now, obviously, it makes sense.
Now, when you know that, there's actually some ways to figure around that. Because a couple of times I've gone on reCAPTCHA, I actually tried that, and I kind of had a vague idea based on the two words presented, which one is probably the one that it knows, and which one is probably the one that it doesn't.
The one that it doesn't know is more mashed together, and you have to imagine that a computer wouldn't be able to read the one that it doesn't know.
That's true, because they add distractions. They deform the text on both of them a little bit and add sort of like distracting lines so that the computer can't read it. Not to mention the advantage of reCAPTCHA is that it's all actually handled on the reCAPTCHA server, not on your own site. So there really is not a way for a spammer hitting your own site to really have any access to the interpretation of what the CAPTCHA is. It's all handled separately. So there's a lot of nice things for it. The reason PHP-BB doesn't do it off the bat, and this is going back to that old blog post a few months ago about CAPTCHAs, is that requires you to sign up for it. You to sign up for reCAPTCHA as a service, and PHP-BB does not want to make the default CAPTCHA be something you have to sign up on a separate website for, which makes sense. But I don't think there is yet a mod that lets you easily implement reCAPTCHA in the place of PHPBB's CAPTCHA, but I would like to see that because I think it's a great alternative for people like me who just really can't stand PHPBB's built-in CAPTCHA. I mean, I know that, no offense, the developers do a great job, and getting a good CAPTCHA is very, very hard to do, but, I really don't like PHPBB's CAPTCHA very much.
On reCAPTCHA's site, they actually have a plugin for PHPBB, but it's for PHPBB too.
Yes. And you can
maybe it'd be a good idea
because of the .tpl extension.
Yes, that gives or the user CP underscore register. Okay, that's pretty obvious.
So, if someone would like to put one together, if I was a little more familiar and had some more time, I would. But it really is not that hard. It was very easy for me to implement in my custom developed form. Literally, add a couple of lines of code in the context of the form and in the validation, and that's it.
Yeah, there was Faw actually created a. He's on the QA team. He actually created a reCAPTCHA mod for PHP3, and it's in RC stage.
Ah.
But as he was not planning on submitting it to the mod database, we had to close it. But because it does not use modX, so that was a problem. But you know, obviously that mod does exist.
Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be too hard, no.
Yeah, requires PHP 5, of course. But yeah, it does exist.
Of course, yes.
And I believe there's another group that's actually gotten a reCAPTCHA for PHP3. And I'm not sure who they are, but they have talked about implementing it on PHP3, and it's a Google group. So, yeah, I mean, people have gotten it to work on PHP3, and certainly you can do that. Now, 3.2, once 3.2 is released, it'll be much easier to create plugins for visual confirmation. That was sort of the idea when 3.0 was being developed, but to hurry up the release, they made it so that it was not plugins quite like that. Yeah.
So
you're not easily. Like, I mean, it's still expandable, but it's just not as, you know, it's not modularized.
So you're saying the basic infrastructure is in place, but not enough.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So,
And certainly 3.2 will be enough.
All right. I'm putting a link in the chat room. I'll put it in the show notes. That's a little bit, David, about reCAPTCHA and sort of the idea behind it and how it's. Mm-hmm. And there's a paragraph there that says how the system knows the correct answers to the puzzle and all that. So that's something you can certainly look at. However, we actually did not actually get to discuss what has changed in the PHP3 CAPTCHA because we got off topic so fast. So
yeah, well,
tell us about this new wave distortion.
Well, it just it causes it to distort into a wave. You know, think of a wave and it's distorted that way. It's just an added distortion to the GD CAPTCHA. It doesn't work on the regular CAPTCHA, but it works on the GD CAPTCHA.
Mm-hmm. So essentially what it does is, it's interesting, essentially the normal CAPTCHA has these up and down lines going on, and of course they're not all up and down as in they're being perpendicular. There's a little bit of slight angle variation going on there and some moving around of the lines and such. And pretty much this distortion now makes them all curvy and wavy, and the letters sort of get curvy and wavy as well.
Curvy, dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's all about the wave. No.
Okay, that was weird.
That's my bad.
We just freaked out half our listeners.
That's my bad hippie imitation, which is not very good. Boy, we're going to get some letters now.
So changes within the PHP 3.0 branch, it's moving on. Yeah. Terrafrost is part of the Juno developers group, so he has been making some commits for bug fixes.
There's a junior developers group?
Yes, remember we talked about that before.
Really? I don't recall that. We talked about the junior mods, but not – I didn't know –
junior mod validators.
You might have mentioned the junior developers group as an idea, but I don't think we ever talked about it actually happening.
Yeah, actually, there's a page on it. Let me see if I can pull it up on php.com.
Is this like a user group that I can find from the control panel here?
I don't think so.
Yes, junior developers. Check it out. And Terrafrost is the only member.
Yeah. Okay, click that link. And I just sent you.
Boy, how many things happen without my knowing about them?
Hey, this hasn't been announced. That's why.
Ah. Okay.
So, but
get involved.
There you can yeah, you can read about the junior developers, sort of what's included in it, and somebody's like, oh, great, that sounds fun. You know, how do I become a junior developer? Well,
you don't. You're invited.
You don't. You're invited. Yeah, it's an invitation. And based on your based on people's participation within PHP 3 development and their participation within the bug tracker, submitting patches, usable things. You know, so that even though somebody is like extremely active within the bug tracker, does not mean that they necessarily be invited. You know, nobody would likely know when they would be invited. That would be up to the development team, of course. But anyway, you can read about the junior developers there. They talk about that.
So this is where. So I guess this is how. I was wondering. I noticed that Terrafrost, his real name is Jim, has been posting things in the subversion check-ins, and I'm wondering, oh, did he join the team? But then I just go around the about team page and says, no, he's not on the development team. And then I see this line that says authorized by Acid Burn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically how they make their commits, and that's how the junior developers will be making their commits, because they'll have a forum where they propose a patch, and then when the developers approve it, they'll say approved by so-and-so, and then it's able to be committed.
Now,
and that's the case here.
Now, how does this differ? First of all, there's no room for applying to become a junior developer. How does this differ from what they've had before? Because traditionally, the developer team has been the hardest team to become a member of. It's always been invite only. And the majority of the time, it actually is based on a promotion from elsewhere inside the teams. But the only times I can think of otherwise was for David MJ and Nils, who joined after doing excellent work on that community coding project back in 2005.
Isn't there another one?
Huh?
Was Acid Burn ever part of them? Wasn't he another one, or was he part of the mod team? I don't think he was.
Acid Burn goes farther back than I was around, so I can't comment on that. I wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. In recent memory, that's the case. It's pretty much been the case. It's promotion from within the team of structure. So how does this differ?
And kind of the way the junior mod validators work, I would assume. Obviously a developer is going to be able to describe this a little bit better than I would, or basically talk about how people get involved better than I would. But in regards to the junior validators, you know, we look at really potential validators that the team is considering, and we would say, okay, these members are potential validators, and let's put them on the junior validators team and let them assist the mod team in testing mods. And, and then from that group, we can decide who would actually become a mod team member, and David IQ was one. So with regard to the junior developers, based on what I'm reading in this particular page, is that it's based on your participation within the bug tracker and development of 3.0.x or 3.2, mm-hmm. and fixing those bugs and everything. Based on that, they'll go, okay, this might be a good member to actually be fixing bugs. You know, they see a lot of patches come through from you, and they're like, yeah, we like these patches. Let's see how they'll work on the junior developers.
I'll say this for this page, without having the time to do more than scan it briefly while you're talking, it's actually quite interesting because it really gives an idea of what the developers have to do all the time here. You know, how mm-hmm. they submit patches and do things in Subversion and all that. Therefore, security things they have to consider, like security, coding guidelines, intellectual property, etc.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that it has to go through, and especially with bug squishing.
Yeah.
When you create a patch, it's really important that the code changes that you apply are very minor.
Uh-huh.
Unless it's really a critical bug fix or security fix or something like that. But really, the idea is that you don't want to modify a whole bunch of code, because that's just going to cause conflicts.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and that we saw happen with 3.0.3.
Yes.
And less so with 3.0.4. So it's really important that, you know, as little conflicts as possible are applied. So you really have to code in such a way, yet you still have to code well enough for it to be, you know, core. You know, like mods, 99% of mods could never be included in the core because they're not coded in the way that the core would be. And rightfully so. I mean, think about it. As a mod, let's, for example, the way that a mod should be developed is that it should be including files and functions, not inserting new code or replacing a bunch of code, but trying to insert one or two lines that would do its work. That's really the goal. And you would never code – if you were adjusting the PHP 3 core, you would never code it that way. You would code it directly into the file, but at the same time, you have to use the correct logic applied to that file. Mm-hmm. That would not be – that would be different from a mod, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
So – people can read more about people can read more about the junior developers at the page phpbb.com/development/get-involved.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really anybody who's been following PHP 3 development, 3.2 development, I do encourage them to read that page, even if you never become a junior validator or not want to become a junior developer, it's still worthwhile to read that and kind of understand what some of the developers go through to create patches and whatnot for PHP 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So,
all right. Very cool. So that's about all we had to talk about for today. But let's go to our last couple of things. We have our mod style and poll of the week. So... and I'm sorry, actually, David, I never sent you the – I'll have to send you the links through Skype because I never sent you the notes for today. There's the mod. Mod of the week. Sorry?
Before we do that, there is a new blog post on CSRF vulnerabilities.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
By Kellen Ved, and definitely worth reading. It talks about fighting CSRF, which we've talked about in detail before on the podcast, so I don't think we need to go into it again. But basically, it's cross-site request forgery. Marshall Brusty was actually on the podcast episode where we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a blog post on it, and it talks about fighting it, what can be done about it, validation, link caches, what PHPBB does to combat CSRF.
Yeah.
And how you can do it.
For certain and there's no one answer. I mean, here he gives four different solutions that he uses, that PHP uses: prefer validation, link hash, confirm boxes, and
form tokens.
I skipped that.
Yeah.
One. And they all have different uses depending on different applications, depending on how much security you need, how willing you are to be annoying to the user or not. And what they're best optimized for. So there's different uses for different things, but it's good for this is a good reading for mod authors who are developing mods that really add a lot of more interface to the PHPBB core. In that, when they have to deal with forms and things like that, you're considering what's the best way, depending on what my form is supposed to do, in order to be protected against CSRF, but not hinder the user too much.
Yeah, really anything that any mod that is created with PHP 3, especially modules and things like that, you know, you still have to be aware of these basics when creating these mods. SQL injection is another one that you have to be aware of, but it's important to be aware of anything security related when creating a PHP application, scripts, or anything like that, because we see so many vulnerabilities. I mean, if all you have to do is browse one of the paste bins out there, and anytime you come across a PHP code, I find that so often, more times than not, there is some sort of very serious vulnerability within that PHP code. And it's a simple lack of knowledge. Mm. And that's really what we're trying to get out to people here and especially with these kinds of blog posts, is trying to inform the users, trying to inform the mod authors and developers, anybody who's developing for PHPB or developing PHP applications. This is this is good knowledge. This is required knowledge, really.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really, really important that people familiarize themselves with security vulnerabilities and how to prevent them so that the code that they develop is secure. That is so important. I can't stress that enough. That is the number one most important thing as a developer. And some people don't really realize the implications. You know, if they've never been hacked, they don't realize how serious it is, unfortunately.
Yeah. And unfortunately, too many people have not gotten hacked. But fortunately and unfortunately, too many people have not gotten hacked yet. Fortunately, because they haven't gotten hacked, but the unfortunate thing being they don't understand the implications.
Right. And, well, you know what it is? It's, if you've been around web servers enough, you begin to understand after a while. We've had a server hacked a while back, and it was the only time we've ever had someone hack a site. It was through a control panel, as many hacks are done. But, you know, that really was – that was like a wake-up call. You know, and I think it is for a lot of people, but we're hoping that, that we can wake them up before they actually experience a hacking.
Yes.
You know, that's really the desire here. So,
and hence the value of having the mod team validate submitted mods to check for these kinds of vulnerabilities.
Yes, and it's also the reason that things like the get and the post superglobals are overridden in PHPBB 3.2. Like within 3.0, if you create, you can create a mod that does get requests. You know, it takes user input and inserts it directly into a database query.
Yeah.
Well, you do that, you've instantly given yourself SQL injection and anybody else who uses that code. SQL injection being
a get request is like when you have those long strings that are in the URL. Well, guess what? Users can edit the contents of their URLs to be whatever the heck they want, and that there is an implicit SQL injection right there, because users can then write a URL that has their own SQL-scaped code right there that will be injected right into your database.
Right. You know, that'll do something like log you in as an administrator. It will, or in the case of PHPBB, let somebody create a mod for PHPBB that has an SQL injection in it. They might be able, if they have a user account on PHPBB, they might be able to easily make themselves a founder.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's done, you can do anything. They can do anything. So it is so important. It is so important to really be aware of these things. And even as site developers, anytime you're installing code, it's really important that you know that it's going to be secure. And that's why the mod validation process exists. I'll give you an example. I talked about the get and post requests, which are form validation. You know, people create forms, you know, enter your name and email address or whatever kind of information or comments or whatever, and then they will – you want to store that information into a database. Well, if you don't do any sanitization, data sanitization on it and just insert it directly into the database, you open yourself up to the SQL injection, which is the number one most serious and also most common vulnerability that exists out there. But what PHPBB 3.2 does is, as long as 3.2 is included as a framework within the code that they're using, it will override the post and get globals. And it will give you an error message at the top of the screen, kind of like the the PHPBB warning errors that show at the top, like undefined index or undefined variable, those kinds of warnings, or headers already sent. You know, there's a lot of people who have dealt with PHP 3 for a while have seen those errors at one time or another in developing or installing mods that don't work or whatever it might be. But basically, it will say, you know, you cannot use the get or post superglobal. Instead, use the request request var, or, you know, I forget exactly the wording that they've used for it by now, but it's something, it tells you exactly what you need to do, and it overrides that global so that you cannot use it. You have to use request var, and that has some basic sanitization in it, and it will kind of make people aware, but they need to be using dbel, the dbel SQL underscore escape method for inserting data into the database, or the PHP 3 has a lot of methods that we use. The request var that has some basic sanitization in it. DB underscore SQL underscore the dbal object SQL underscore escape method, and also when you're doing an actual insert, the build array SQL build array method will do that as well. So look into those. It's on the wiki, and familiarize yourself with SQL injections and some basic security vulnerabilities, and you'll be able to protect yourself against it. But the 3.2 security does help that a little bit, because they immediately can become aware of that vulnerability without actually creating vulnerable code.
Always good. So, all right. Good blog post. Boy, there's so much great stuff on that blog. I wish they could post on there more frequently, but that already the blog on there is just a wealth of information, various very important things of PHP Ruby. That's why we keep coming back to it so frequently on the show, because there's so much stuff that's really useful on there for people to know. And so I think do a bit more of highlighting some of the sort of the featured content on that blog. But for all the team members that are working on there, good job on there doing that. So let's go to our mod style of the week as we start to close out our show. The mod of the week, this is called IGN style colored names. And the idea here is, there are some sites that I've heard of where they like to allow their users the choice of perhaps being able to customize the display of their username. Or sometimes they could even make this sort of like a rite of passage, so to speak. So once you reach a certain activity level on the site, you want to perhaps allow users to have a privilege like stylizing their username. So this allows users that have the given permissions to be able to customize the username, such by changing the border, color, background, font style, text decoration, font weight of their username as it showed up on their board. And it does this by adding to their profile different drop-down menus for these. So users can't necessarily enter whatever the heck they want, but instead they get to choose from some pre-selected options for customizing the display of their username. But this can be done by turning this ability on in either user or group permissions. So if you have like a group, for example, of users that are very active on your board, you could turn this on for users that are joined in that group. And so there's a number of wide variety of options that you could use in terms of allowing users to customize their username. But it's a nice little thing that if you find it important, if you find it important, then users could take advantage of. And so it's a nice little niche mod that apparently does its job well. So IGN style colored names by Trell is the mod of the week. I don't know if David wants to add anything to that, but I presume
I'm not personally a huge fan of changing coloring on usernames, but yeah. If that's what you wanted to do, and certainly there are a lot of sites. ChristianForums.com is one of the original sites that I was a part of for a while that I remember that had that ability. You could buy using cash points some styles for your username.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting.
I tried that, though. I never could get that to work.
The problem with it really is that, you have moderators and administrators have their own colors, based on the group settings. And so when you start doing things like allowing users to pick their own styles, then how do users differentiate between a moderator and a regular user that's colored their username?
Probably by a rank. I would think a rank image or something like that.
Yes, certainly. Although when you're looking at an online list, that doesn't really help. The way to do it, like what Christian Forrest did, is they actually had a little symbol that was like a little S symbol if there is a moderator. So that's how they were able to differentiate between a regular user and a moderator. And I don't know if this mod does that or not, but that would be one way to do it.
So this really, it really is up to you to determine, quite frankly, if this is something you really want. because you do run into those kinds of issues like that, about colors and things like that, how important it is to you that other important users on your board have different colors. So this is really up to decide. So like I said, it's a niche feature, but for those who want it, it does the job. Mm-hmm. So yep. Check it out.
Certainly.
Style of the week. This is one that was recently submitted to the styles database on phpbb.com. It is called Twilight BB by Daniel X.
And this is a nice style.
Yes.
I don't like dark styles. Mm-hmm. But this one is not too bad.
Yeah. It's based on Subsilver 2, as we always pick one or the other. And it's a very interesting kind of – it's a dark style, but it has a bit of a three-dimensional depth to it, which he does through some use of gradients of different gray – light to gray type image color schemes. So in a way, almost it's like different things are popping out. The sort of the icons for new posts or no new posts look like kind of like buttons that glow orange if there's new posts, or otherwise are sort of a – white grayish type of color, but it's a nice little gradient, so a little bit of an aqua feel, but not quite the way I would say it looks like OS X. I wouldn't compare it to that very much. Buttons across the top of the screen, which are really cool, like buttons, they add a little glowy effect when you hover over them. And overall, I'd say a very nice style. Nothing looks out of place. It's a very nice implementation. It's a very nice style that you should probably check out. I'm not sure how easy it is to edit the header image, but that's probably I haven't had a chance to look at that detailed yet. But definitely a style to take a look at. Twilight BB by Daniel X, and that is the style of the week. Excuse me. Now for our poll question of the week, last week you remember we ended up talking a bit about that post on whether or not there was a government plan to close down the internet.
Okay. Remember that? Yeah, did you put it? Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, so our poll question of the week, actually, it lasted for like 2 weeks, quite frankly, was, do you think that there is a government plan to close down the internet? Well, only two people voted saying that yes, there certainly is, about 16%. Four people voted saying, no way, this is just a crazy conspiracy theory, about a third of the votes we had. Five people voted on the choice I put down, saying that the government is watching every move I make, therefore I cannot provide a definitive answer to this question. That's about 42% of our votes. Oh, dear. And finally, one person voted saying, how the heck should we know or care? 7%.
Okay, that is funny.
Yes, those are the ones I made up. So here's this week's question. Getting back to sort of, since we opened the show talking a bit about the inauguration a bit and the new White House website, my question is, what would be the most important new feature that's missing from the new White House website? And I don't know what
the – Well, yeah, okay. But depending on your answers, why should we care?
Yeah, I think one of the choices will be an online bulletin board, which I am almost guessing will probably get the most votes. But there'll be some other options depending on how witty I feel when I come up with the choices. Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to come up with the question every week, on the show, but I won't come up with the choices till I actually post the poll the next day when I release the episode. So we'll come up with it. I'm thinking of. I have a couple of interesting ideas, though, for some choices here. So some will be serious, and there may be a few silly ones. But thanks to everyone who is voting on our polls. It's a lot of fun for us to sort of look at them. And so we'll keep doing that as long as people keep voting. With that said, we're going to close out our show. phpbbweekly.net is our official website where you can check out show notes, links to everything we talked about on this show, as well as checking out all of our past episodes. And of course, we have our wonderful forum at StarTrekGuide.com. Head on down there, post questions, comments, anything we talk about on the show or have coming up on the show. It's good discussion for we keep an eye, a very close eye on. Our next episode will be next week, PHP Weekly number 96. We're getting very close to 100 on Saturday, January 31st. at noon Eastern time. I will not be here. David will be taking on the reins by himself, along with whoever else he decides to invite to join him, because I will be attending a conference that a friend of mine is putting on in San Francisco called Teens in Tech, which should be a very interesting opportunity. And while there, I'm also probably going to be asking him for some tips on that could possibly be used at the future San Francisco event. So, as well as doing some exploration, where I'm going may end up being, who knows, being the place that we will host whatever we're doing. So, some idea gathering. So that's where I'll be next week. David will be here doing whatever he decides to talk about. Be afraid.
Douglas is going to be incognito next week.
So to speak. Who knows? I'll probably be on the train heading up there. We shall see. And, of course, PHP VP Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Check out techpodcast.com for many other great technology podcasts as well. All that said, thank you for listening to this show. My name is Douglas Bell.
And I'm David Lewis.
And remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag.
You're it.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.